Thank you, Brother Vaughn. We appreciate you filling in and leading us during this time. You guys continue to pray for our new music pastor the Lord is going to bring to us. I tell you, we need him just as children need their mothers and fathers. We need our Lord. It makes me think of Brother Kenny last week. Did a wonderful job talking about faith-filled families. Thank you, Brother Kenny, for filling in. I actually was kind of traveling and got to turn it on and tune in with you guys. And what a wonderful service last week. We're going to continue. Just as I look to the thing ahead of me, I wanted to play off of Kenny's theme of last week, faith-filled families to faith-filled workers and bosses. And of course, it talks about the slave-master relationship, but in our contemporary, in our society today, it's talking about bosses and their employees, or employers and employees, workers. So if you would, find in your Bible, Colossians 3:22, we're going to stand and read God's Word together. It says, "Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. And now the word to the masters. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." Father, would you open our eyes to see clearly this morning? We give you thanks and praise. We worship you. God, we are so needy, depending on you and your revelation here to teach us, to equip us, to draw us unto yourself for salvation, God. Speak, Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We still definitely have a context to what we're teaching here. We're still talking about the new man, the new person. Our faith in Christ Jesus now leads us to live who we are and what God's done in and through us. So if you go back to the very top of that verse, the top of that chapter, it says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." So that leads me to think about this passage. It makes me think of three points that we are that talk about the new man. One, we have a new mindset. Everybody say new mindset. All right, thank you. Everybody say a new motivation. All right, and now say a new master. Now, if you don't remember anything else I said, you're going to remember M&Ms. M&M, 3 M's, a new mindset, a new motivation, and a new master, right? That's what we have. That's who we are now. And so we are different. And Brother Kenny told you last week in the thinking about Jesus being the head of the church in Colossians 1, verses 18 there, where it says Jesus is the head. That word kephale, it is a close word to Lord, kyrios, which means we are his subordinates. He is Lord and master of us. We are under him. All right, and so when we think about the slave-master relationship, we're thinking about what it means that Jesus is now our Lord and our Master. All right, we think about that in that Greek culture, in that Roman society, they knew what there was to have a master and a slave, and we're going to talk about that today. Paul wasn't trying to, slavery existed even before Judaism and Christianity. So Paul knew that he couldn't win to try to change the culture and trying to rebel against slavery. But what he said now is new people in Christ, this is how you live in context as slaves and as in context as masters. Our brother Kenny told us last week about what it means to be a husband, to be a wife, to be a child. All right? If father, the wives are to respect their husbands, and the husbands were to love their wives as Christ loved the church, and there was a chain set up as Christ is the head of the man. The man was the head of the family and his wife, and then the children were subordinates to their husband, to the parents. All right, and it said, the last thing it said in verse 21 is don't exasperate your children. Don't provoke them to anger. What does that mean? Can you explain that to us? To never build them up, to always hold them down, to never feel like they can live up to what we call them and ask them to do. All right, we took some little kids out to, somebody said, "Do you have a good vacation? Did you have a good, are you rested?" I said, "Well, I was rested until Will had a birthday party and Anna got us a night out at Quail Creek out here at the campground. So I had to go get my camper, take it. But the fun part was I had six little 10 and 11-year-olds spending the night with me. So we went fishing, we caught bullfrogs. What else did we do? Went to the driving range. And so I was rested until about 2 days ago. All right, but in that, we got some rough little guys. And so I set them down. I said, "Guys, I'm not going to give you too many rules, but I'm going to give you about three or four rules." And they were basic rules. One, pick up after yourself. Number two, listen and follow instructions. I think number three was, what was number three, Will? You don't remember, do you? That's about right. They were really good rules. And sometimes we put so many rules on them that we exasperate our kids. Well, number three, we're number four, number five. And we can make them, we can put a little too much on them sometimes. But if we keep it simple, I like Brother Don, and y'all be praying for Don Nelson too. I like Don and Pat Nelson with Elizabeth, their only child. They had a list of rules, and they said when the kid messed up, you could look at them and say, "Okay, rule number three, this is, you know, the punishment says this, let's go." All right, they knew. You drew guidelines. They knew the parameters they were staying. Wonderful, wonderful parenting. All right, and it's faith-filled families. Has a solid husband that's following the Lord Jesus. A wife that is submitting to her husband as unto the Lord. Children that are submitting to their parents as unto the Lord. All right, it's just an authority. It's the way God set it up. And in that prescription, if we follow, God blesses. All right, it's not demeaning. You got to remember, in the society, wives and children had no, in the Greek and Roman society, they were like closely to slaves. They were told what to do. They were tossed around. Fingers were put down on them. They were controlled. They were pushed aside. They were treated close to cattle. And so before you say, "Well, that's that Old Testament, that God's word is being derogatory toward wives and children." No, God's word was showing a prescription to where the families could flourish. All right. He was bringing order. He was giving value to wives and children and showing husbands how to lead well under the authority of God. So we get into this section right here when it talks about slaves and masters. This word bondservant, doulos, and also is another word for it. Paul constantly talks about, "I'm a slave of God. I'm a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ." And so when looking at what we're looking at this morning, the last point is going to be a new master. But here's, let me read it to you well. Let me just kind of lay it out what I said. And it comes down to, you have a new mindset and a new motivation because you have a new master. All right? And that goes back to that Colossians 3:1. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. And I like how he specifically says, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And then verse 2, set your minds on things above. So when you say you have a new mindset, we didn't just turn a switch on. It's because of what Christ has done. Because you are new, because you have died to yourself, because Christ has effectually called you to himself, you've turned from your sin, you've repented, you've believed, and you've declared, "Lord Jesus, you are my master. You are my Lord." When Paul says, "I have died to myself and now I live in Christ," Paul was saying, "I've got a new master. And because I've got a new master, I've got a new mind." Right? 2 Thessalonians 5:17, "In Christ we are all new creations and we're becoming more new. We're being sanctified." And so there's a new desire. So we're not living for ourselves. We're not living for our fame and glory. Even to these slaves, he's saying, look. Look at the text there. Go back to the text in Colossians, verse 22. Here we go, a new mindset. Look at verse 22. "Slaves, obey in some of the things that your master tells you to do," right? Is that what it says? Slaves, obey in what? Everything. Obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. So is Paul saying, y'all need to rebel against society and you're no longer to be slaves? And that's not what he's saying. He said your relationships matter. And the best way to fight this evil system is to realize that you're not just obeying your earthly master. You've got a heavenly master. And so there's this new mindset. Your relationship with your earthly master and your submission to him is now your area of worship. It's an area where there is dignity in you saying, "Yes, master," and you following. Because by doing that, you are submitting to the Lord and His calling to reflect the light and glory of Christ in your relationships. Now, how awesome is that? You know, used to, the football coach would say, "All right, guys, in this weight room, here's the workout plan. Here's what I need you to do." And he would put us in groups and he'd walk out of the room. And it was so sad to see all the guys just kick their feet up. Seth, I know you never have this happen. Just see all the guys say, "Coach is gone. Who wants to hang out?" Now, that's really nice, really good, isn't it? But maybe some of these slaves had that type of attitude. "That sucker's harsh toward me, man. He beats me every morning, every day. I can't ever live up. When he's gone, I'm going to do whatever I want to do." Paul's saying, "Nope. Nope, you have a new master, and you're to work for that new master by working for this earthly master." Of course, we know that on the football team and in cheerleading, we know that volleyball team, whatever you do, and I love what Colossians 3:17 said last week. What does it say? "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So, that submission is much deeper than just relationships with your bosses and employ. It has to do also with your coaches, with your teachers, students. It has to do with those earthly masters that God put over you. It also goes back, Will, and why? To the context you had with your parents. Right? You submitting to mom and dad honors God. Right? Savannah? Did you want me to call your name too? Why are you punching him laughing and giggling? All right, look at me. You submitting it to your parents has to do with your worship with vertical before God Almighty. When your mom says go change clothes, don't question her. Just go change clothes. Amen, parents. Gonna get amen there? When dad tells you to go take out the trash, don't make excuses. Just go take out the trash, children. You're honoring God. Okay, so bosses. Or employees, let's work here. The last verse at 4:1 talks about masters. We'll have a word. And let me remind you of the context here. Tychicus is joined up with this guy named Onesimus. And they are taking this letter back to Colossae. But there's another letter possibly in hand. There's a letter to a slave owner named Philemon. It's a book of the Bible called Philemon. Some of y'all say Philemon, however you want to say it. All right? And this slave was named Onesimus. And he ran. He said, "I'm out." And he ran. Guess what? Paul is his spiritual father. Paul leads Onesimus to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happens is Onesimus has a new master. So Paul and his discipling this new slave, this new Roman slave that was in the house of Philemon, he's now sending Tychicus back, and he's sending Onesimus back with this letter to the Colossians and also a letter to Philemon. And Paul is writing to Philemon. He's saying, "Please, take Onesimus back and forgive him. He has a new master. He's a new creation. And you have a new brother in the Lord. And yes, he's your slave, but now he's more than your slave. He is your brother." Guys, relationships are important. And this letter going back, Paul writes this letter to Philemon. Go read it. He's saying that whatever he owes you, charge it to my account. Forgive him. Restore him. Because you know what? Onesimus is going to be different. Onesimus don't want to run anymore. Onesimus wants to serve the Lord by serving you. Do you see why Christians have always changed the culture? I'll read you a little story here of in Georgia. It has to do with to crack the lily white system of higher education in Georgia in the 1960s. Black leaders decided they needed to find two squeaky clean students who couldn't be challenged on moral, intellectual, or educational grounds. In a discussion about who might be chosen, Alfred Holmes immediately volunteered his son, Hamilton, the top black male senior in the city. Charlene Hunter Galt also stepped forward and expressed an interest in applying to the university. However, you can imagine, Georgia delayed admitting both boys on grounds it had no room in the dormitories, and the matter eventually ended up in the federal court. Judge Boodle ordered the university to admit the two who were qualified in every respect, and thus segregation ended at the university level in the state and soon the nation. Attorney General Robert Kennedy declared in a speech not long after, "We know that it is the law which enables men to live together that creates order out of chaos. And we know that if one man's rights are denied, the rights of all are endangered." So we looked at, in a minute, he's fixed to say, you masters treat your individuals with justly and fairly. We know justice may be universal, but it always begins at the individual level. And the question is asking this little devotional, who is it that you might treat more justly? You see, what's happening here is Paul's not really, he knows he couldn't win to try to come against this, but he knows if Christians will go and be the salt and light, if they will go and serve their masters faithfully, if Christian masters will treat their slaves justly and fairly, this soon, this slavery and this system will be broken. It'll be overrun. It'll be transformed. Without making overt protests against slavery, Paul seemed to understand that if he could establish the point that slaves were equals in the body of Christ, full human beings with both responsibilities and rights, that they should be treated in a manner both just and fair, then in time the whole structure of slavery in the Roman Empire would crumble, and it did. All right? So, we see here that relationships with your employers and employees, they take on a different meaning if you say, Christ is my Lord. Christ is my master. Because what it says in Luke 9:23, that if anyone wishes to be my disciple, let him do what? Deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. What you're saying is, when you say Christ is the head of the church, you're saying that he ranks highly and he is superior and prominent, and that we are his subordinates and we are his slaves. And he is our master. And so we learn how to honor him as our Lord and master by following his word in these relationships, in these godly relationships, starting with our families and moving into society with our bosses and with our workers. And guys, everybody here in this room, in some way, shape, form, or fashion, is either a Philemon or an Onesimus. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I tried to explain it to you. I hope you understand. Philemon was the master. He was the slave owner. Onesimus was the runaway slave. Right? You either are an employee or an employer or somewhat related to those two terms, everyone in here. And so you say, well, Brother Stephen is talking about slaves and masters. What does that have to do with me? Well, this is what it has to do with you. Your relationship to God carries weight and influence in your relationship with others. And if you're an Onesimus, if you've got a boss, then you're to be subject to that boss. You're to obey him as you obey the Lord. Unless, here you go, some of y'all are going, man, let me see if I can catch Stephen here. Unless he's asking you to do things that violate the Scriptures. Then, obey the Lord. Take your consequences. 1 Peter 1. Peter's talking about to this persecuted church about how to live at peace with all people, And you see a lot about this submission to rulers and masters in 1 Peter 2. I think we might have that on the screen if we got it. I don't know if we don't. But if 1 Peter 2, verse 18, I'll read it to you. 1 Peter 2. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. You see that? Don't just be good to him if they're good to you. Even the ones that are harsh, be good and gentle with them. For this is a gracious thing when mindful of God, who endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Paul is talking to them about living at peace with all men and obeying your Roman authorities. Following, he says, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Do you see that? This is not just a theme Paul just threw in the book of Colossians. Matter of fact, Eddie is going to pull this one up. In Ephesians 6, it says the same exact thing. It says, bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, that he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Guys, in a sense, we are all on the same playing field in our submission to the one true and living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our head, the head of the body, the church. So, going back to a new mindset, it says we are to obey masters in everything, not to look good, not to please people. There's also a little something I wanted to read to you. You might remember that I've shared this with you before. It says, you remember a young man once studied violin under this world-renowned violinist and master teacher. He worked hard for several years at perfecting his talent, and the day had finally come when he would give his first major public recital in this large city, and he and his teacher lived in this city. And following each selection that he performed with great skill and passion, the performer seemed uneasy about these loud bravos and these loud applause that he received. Even though he knew that the people in the audience were musically astute and were not likely to give applause for the lousy performances, for less than a superior performance, the young man acted almost as if he couldn't hear the appreciation that was being showered upon him. At the close of the last number, the applause was thunderous and loud, and bravos were shouted. The talented young violinist had his eyes glued, however, on only one spot. Finally, when an elderly man in the first row of the balcony smiled and nodded to him in approval, the young man relaxed and beamed with both relief and joy. His teacher had praised his work. The applause meant thousands. The applause of thousands meant nothing until he had first won the approval of his master. And so we ask ourselves, who is it that we are trying to please? Right here it says the first thing about this new mindset is now you've got a new master. Quit trying to people please. Quit trying. Paul says, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ if I was trying to please men. He says, I'm only trying to please one, the audience of one. Paul says, I seek to please the Lord Jesus Christ. I glory only in His cross and Him being crucified. The Scriptures say in verse 22 and 23 of Colossians, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. There's the new mindset. Not eye service, not people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. That's reverencing the Lord. That's looking to that new master. That's honoring Him with your life and being and breath and talents. And Vaughn, it's... we think about having to ask people, can you serve here? Will you get involved here? Will somebody please sing? Well, we've got new team kid. We need another worker. It is kind of sad that we have to ask and beg and to people to serve the Lord. Will you please serve the Lord? Will you please join in this family? Will you please help equip saints for ministry? Will you please use your gift of teaching? Will you please serve on this committee? Will you please come and just be a helper at Bible school? Will you please? We do that. Y'all got to realize our master is worthy. He's glorious. And by you serving, you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You shouldn't just say, well, they asked me to serve on that committee. Good grief, what do I got to do? Serve with joy. Serve under the authority of Him. Make a difference to the people around you. Be salt and light. Do it as an act of worship, fearing the Lord, honoring Him. Many of you own businesses. Many of you serve as teachers and coaches. How sad is it when you got people that are just checking boxes and just going through the motions? I keep looking at Seth. I keep thinking about, you know, how you got this little boy on the football team or the baseball team, and the only reason he's on there is because mama wants him to be on there. And you're sitting there going, what in the world am I going to do with him? He don't want to be out here. He's a cancer to the whole group. He's pulling everybody down, and somehow I've got to try to find a way to work with him. That's the way I feel like it. Sometimes it's at church. Your attitudes are sour. You only come because it's expected, and you just hear, and we sing, and we go, and Brother Vaughn looks out there, and he's probably depressed because he's like, man, I'm leading this thing, but nobody's even singing. I'm leading this thing, and nobody's even smiling. We're not asking you to sway, but we are asking you to at least ponder the words and maybe smile, look like it's restoring and bringing joy to your heart. Do you feel me? Do you understand where I am this morning? How many times do our relationships and do our actions just, we just go through the motions? How do we change that? Because I don't know. We talked about it Wednesday night. How do we change it? We pray and we seek God and we ask God to please, please crush our pride. Crush our own ambitious desire to be Lord of our own life. Crush this individualism that separates us all to be our own little mini Christ. Bring us under subjection to the authority of the head. May we fall down. May we repent. And may we call on God to bless and lead and give us joy and purpose. I don't know. I don't know what to do, guys, but to pray and to seek God. I'm just kind of took my sermon and I'm just being personal with you. I'm just being open, transparent with you a little bit. Because I'm not the only one that feels this way. I talk to y'all. We're going to have a deacon's meeting in just a little bit. About five or six hours, we're going to have a deacon's meeting. And we're going to all scratch our head and go, we got the same problem. But you know what? The deacons will admit they're in the same boat you're in. If we're all honest, we're all in the same boat together. I'm coming because they expect me. I'm going to show up because we have a meeting one Sunday a month. So surely I can make one meeting a month. Guys, doctrine, who God is, matters. If we're just leading a church growth routine and we're just trying to get people in here and we're waving all of these things, and our worship will be centered around that. But if we can heed to the scriptures and we can be influenced by the confessions and the creeds, and we see God in all of His majesty and all of His glory, it'll make a difference in how we treat our employees. It'll make a difference in how we submit to our bosses and the government, for that matter, and our coaches and our teachers and our parents. Parents, it'll make a difference in how you lead your children. We have a new mindset. We have a new motivation. Look at verse 23, verses 24a here. Y'all say, man, every time he goes on vacation, he gets long-winded, and I don't know what it is. I don't know where I come back. I don't feel any different, really, than when I do, but I always seem to really, but we're going to move quickly here. 24a, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as the reward. Now, that's kind of interesting. Slaves weren't even allowed to have inheritances. Why does Paul talk about an inheritance? It's kind of interesting. You know, inheritance, you know, I've talked to y'all, you know, it's no secret that I'm wanting to look at possibly, we're going to talk about it in the deacon's meeting. You know, with a fourth child on the way, it's no secret now that Brother Stephen's probably thinking about maybe getting his own house, trying to buy land. I've talked to a few of y'all about, trying to buy 2 or 3 acres. And I know what's in the back of a lot of people's minds. Well, I've got children. I want to leave it to them. Wonderful. Great. You know, they're still alive. Let me tell you something. Here, it's kind of interesting. You got to die to get the inheritance here. You know, usually inheritance works when you die, the kids get it. In this context, Paul says, one day you're going to get an inheritance, but you got to die to get it. Now, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Some of y'all worried about dying and you want to leave your children something. Paul says, go ahead and die, and when you die, then you're going to receive your inheritance. I know I saw that was confusing to some of y'all. All right? He says this. He says that slaves, keep doing what you're doing. Do it as unto the Lord. honor Him, commit to Him, serve Him. And one day, you're going to get a heavenly reward. Inheritance awaits you as you die to self and submit to your authorities on earth as unto the Lord. That's pretty neat, isn't it? So the motivation is what? Heavenly inheritance. Also, look at verse. Also, it's a motivation. Is look down in verse 24. So it says, knowing that from the Lord you receive the inheritance as your reward, but it also says that you're serving the Lord Christ. That's going to be the third point, which your new master. But now look at verse 25. For the wrongdoer will what? Be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Guys, let me tell you something. These slaves are being treated like cattle. They're being treated poorly. Even though society, probably half of the population walking around were slaves. Do y'all know that even doctors and people that had prominent positions were many of them were slaves during the day? Not to mention workers and teachers, but also even people, respected people, they were slaves. Now, some were treated harsher than others, but they had no rights. They could be treated however that the master wanted to treat them. But a powerful motivation, I believe, for these slaves is Revelation 20. And Revelation, when it says that the people are under the altar saying, Lord, how long? How long are we going to suffer? And Jesus says, it won't be much longer. And then every wrong is going to be righted. And your people that killed you and spread your blood, they're going to be judged, the living and the dead. Guys, I think what this motivation here would also be is your slave owners, they're going to get theirs. Your master, he's going to be judged. You just keep submitting to him and you think about your heavenly inheritance. But also, not only is a motivation your heavenly inheritance, a motivation I think with these slaves would be, God's going to judge my owner. He's going to punish him for his wrongdoing. I don't know about y'all, but when you think about serving the Lord, but also, this carries the context also, he's writing also to the slaves, the employees. He's saying, you're wrong. You're going to be held accountable for that. Now, I have no idea, and I don't presume to know how, when you've been cleansed and Christ has died for your sin, and he's died for the past, present, and future, and you're standing, I know somehow there is a great white throne judgment, and that's when the saints, the believers are going to be judged. But also in judgment, there's also going to be an accounting for Christians and the way they spent their time and their money and the way they treated their employees and their employers. And I can't presume to tell you how that's going to work, but we will be judged based on how we treat people and serve and work under people and lead people. So that's the motivation. And lastly, just as we conclude with Master, it says you are serving the Lord Christ. That's there in verse 24b. You are serving the Lord Christ. That's our new master. This is the only time it's used with Lord Christ. It's together. It doesn't have Jesus. So in essence, it's saying you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll conclude with this little story here that will kind of hopefully encourage you and motivate you a little bit. The story is told of a foreman who went to check on the labor of several workers at a building site in medieval France. He approached the first worker and he asked him, "What are you doing?" The man snapped back, "Are you blind? I'm cutting these impossible boulders with primitive tools and putting them together the way I've been told. I'm sweating under the blazing sun doing this back-breaking work, and it's boring me to death." The foreman quickly backed off and retreated to a second worker, asking the same question, "What are you doing?" The worker replied, "As a matter of factly, I'm shaping these boulders into usable forms, which are then assembled according to the architect's plans. It's hard work, and sometimes it gets repetitive, but I earn 5 francs a week, and that supports my wife and children. It's a job. Could be worse, could be better." The guy, foreman, was feeling a little bit better about the question. He backed off and was somewhat encouraged. He went on to a third worker asking, "What are you doing?" The worker lifted his eyes to the sky. "Why can't you see? I'm building a cathedral to God." The meaning you give to your work or your study will directly impact the satisfaction you feel at the day's end. Students, teachers, coaches, employees, employers, followers of Jesus, your relationships are to be guided by the Lord working in and through you and how He saved you and called you. You leading your workers says a lot about the one you follow. You following your leader and your boss says a lot about who is your new master. Boys and girls, you submitting to your parents says, I truly believe Lord is my master and Savior, and I've trusted Him to save me, and I want to follow Him. Wives submitting to your husbands says a lot about the way you believe God's word and that you love God and you're going to submit to your husband as unto the Lord. Husbands, you leading your wives and loving her as Christ loved the church says a lot about your forgiveness and your restoral and you're being made right with God. Do you see what this, how this matters? When you see about slaves and masters, there's a lot to it. Employers and employees, leaders in our community, will you follow God? Will you allow Him to be your, will you trust Him and follow Him? Is He your master? Have you denied yourself? Have you, like Paul in Galatians 2, said, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me? Do you realize that 1 Corinthians 6, that you've been bought with a price and you're no longer your own, that Christ is your Lord and He's Lord of your body? He's Lord of you. We could go a lot more places, but we're wrapping it up. That verse in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, do you not know that you are bought, not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. To confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord in Romans 10:9 is to simultaneously acknowledge one's own obligation to obey Him with total submission. Lastly, it says this in verse 4:1, masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Guys, I want to tell you, we have a new master, and that new master tells us and directs us how we are to treat one another. The Golden Rule talks about treat others the way you would want to be treated. As you love God and serve Him as your master and Lord, will you treat others the way you would want to be treated? But more importantly, will you treat others the way God commands you to treat them? Let's pray together. Father, we love You and we thank You for Your many blessings. God, we thank You for who You are, who You've called us to be. God, You are glorious in all of Your attributes. You're loving, You're forgiving, You're gracious, You're kind, You're just. God, You're omnipotent, You're omniscient, You're sovereign, You're head of the church. God, You have bought us with the precious blood. You reconciled us to Yourself. You've forgiven us of our sins. God, may we submit and surrender in all humility, fall before You and walk with You day by day. May we treat others justly and fairly. May we submit to authorities as under the Lord. God, may we lead our families well. We love You and we thank You for Christ, our Lord and our Master. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.